Imagine waking up tomorrow morning, logging onto your computer, and realizing that your 10-year-old, totally forgotten chaotic notes, have like magically built a fully functional website.
Right, just completely out of thin air.
Yeah, exactly. And not just a basic website. I mean, an interactive tool that trained your newest employee and handled complex client objections while you were sleeping.
Which sounds like science fiction, honestly.
It really does. But you didn't write a single line of code. You didn't, hire an expensive developer. You just finally put your own data to work. So welcome to today's deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Today, we are taking a massive stack of workflow documents from AI strategists, deep dive tutorials from tech educators like Julian Goldie and Charles Terrence Harper.
Really great sources.
Yeah, they are. And we even have a highly specific webinar guide for photographers. And we're basically handing you a blueprint today.
That's the goal.
Right. Our mission is to show you exactly how to turn a static notebook LM file into a living, breathing, interactive web page or app in like a matter of minutes.
It's a complete inversion, really, of how we normally interact with our own information. Because for years, the goal has been organization.
Yeah, folders on folders.
Exactly. Putting PDFs in the right places, tagging documents, trying to build this clean digital archive. But an archive is inherently passive. It just sits there.
Right, collecting digital dust.
Yeah. So what we are mapping out today is a mechanism to instantly deploy that archive as active software. We're looking at a dual engine process here.
Okay, dual engine, break that down for me.
So you're using Notebook LM to synthesize the logic, that's engine one, and then using models like Google Gemini or Claude 4.6 to actually render the architecture, that's engine two.
So let's get right into the mechanics of this, because I know if you are listening to this right now, you've probably already used an AI to, I don't know, summarize a transcript or draft a quick email.
Sure, we all have.
But we are way past that today. The first major hurdle we have to cross is preparing the data. The sources make it super clear that you can't just take a raw, massive folder of 1,000 random client emails and just dump it straight into a code-generating model.
No, you absolutely cannot.
You have to use Notebook LM first.
You absolutely have to. I mean, if you bypass Notebook LM, the entire system breaks down.
Why is that? Like, mechanically, what happens?
Well, let's look at it. If you feed a massive amount of unstructured, contradictory data directly into a generative model like Gemini and say, build me a site,
It's just too much at once.
exactly, you will trigger massive hallucinations. The model's attention mechanism just gets overloaded trying to weigh the importance of like a random invoice from 2019 against your actual core service offerings.
Okay. That makes sense.
Right, so Notebook LM acts as a closed-loop semantic search engine. It doesn't generate new ideas. Its sole purpose is to ground the data, extract the actual semantic meaning, and create a really refined, strictly bounded context window.
Okay, I like that. But I kind of want to push back on the reality of that process for a second.
Sure.
If I take 10 years of chaotic notes, let's use that photographer example from our sources, where they upload a decade of shot lists, location scouting notes, random project journals.
Yeah, a lot of very specific, messy data.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Doesn't Notebook LM still just, I mean, choke on that sheer volume? How does it actually know what matters when it's looking at a chaotic mess of unstructured text?
It doesn't choke because it doesn't approach the data the way we do. It converts all those documents into vector embedding.
Okay, vector embedding.
Yeah, which are essentially mathematical representations of the concepts. So when the photographer asks their Notebook LM, "What is my standard operating procedure for a tabletop lighting setup?"
Right.
The AI isn't reading the documents chronologically like a human would. It's doing a mathematical similarity search to instantly pull the exact specs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it completely removes all the irrelevant fluff about, what they had for lunch that day or what the client's budget was. It acts as a highly efficient filter.
So it's basically a sous chef.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, like it pre-chops, measures,
Oh,
perfectly organizes all the ingredients so that when it's time to actually cook, the head chef isn't rummaging through the fridge looking for a stray onion.
exactly.
The ingredients are just sitting there, perfectly prepped.
That is a perfect functional analogy. The refinement is completely mandatory. You have to distill the knowledge into a tight, structured package before you bring in the builder.
Okay, so we have our prepped ingredients.
Right. Once you have that refined Notebook LM environment, you have the ingredients. Now you need the head chef, which brings us to the actual connection point with Google Gemini.
And this is where the actual web page creation begins. The technical handoff here is critical.
Very critical.
You open a new chat in Google Gemini, and you bring your Notebook LM file directly into that chat environment.
Yeah.
But the sources are incredibly strict about one specific setting before you do anything else. You have to switch Gemini to a pro model, like 2.5 or 3.0. Why not? Will it just fail?
Basically, yeah. You are about to ask an AI to execute a complex, multi-layered reasoning tree that ends in, you know, rendering hundreds of lines of functional code.
Right, which is a lot to ask.
It is. The standard models are optimized for conversational speed, not deep structural logic. The pro models have a significantly higher capacity for maintaining strict adherence to complex instructions over a long output. You need that full cognitive weight.
All right, so I have the pre-model running, and my perfectly prepped notebook LM data is imported. Now, my instinct here is just to type, hey, build me a modern website based on this data.
Right, naturally.
But the tech educators in our sources explicitly warn against this. Mm-hmm. If I just ask for the website, what actually happens under the hood that causes it to fail?
You trigger context collapse.
Context collapse.
Yeah. If you ask it to simultaneously figure out what the website should be about, how it should be structured, what the copy should say, and how to write the specific CSS code to make it look good.
It's just juggling too many balls.
Exactly. Its computational resources are spread way too thin. It will take shortcuts. You'll end up with this generic, ugly template that barely utilizes your data at all. You have to force the model to separate the logic from the rendering.
Which means we need a blueprint first.
Precisely.
We have to instruct Gemini to act purely as an architect before it acts as a coder. The prompt structure the sources recommend is incredibly precise.
It is.
You tell it with the AVL. Review the attached notebook. Design the structure of a modern single-page website. Outline the main sections. Explain the logic behind each section and suggest a color scheme.
Notice the functional purpose of that prompt. You are forcing the model to generate a text-based map of the user experience.
Yeah, a map before the journey.
Exactly. By making it output the logic first, you are actually priming its own context window for the next step. When it finally writes the code, it will just be following the highly logical outline it just wrote for itself.
Instead of making it up on the fly.
Right. Rather than trying to invent the logic and write the code at the exact same time.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like forcing it to write its own instruction manual.
Yeah.
And if we look at the AI Trends 2026 example from the research, the blueprint it spits out is incredibly tailored.
Very specific.
It maps out a hero section, introducing agent-driven AI, a specific interactive module detailing workforce impact, and a dedicated data visualization section. It's not a generic shell. The structure itself is dictated by the actual insights in the notebook LM file.
And once that bespoke logic is mapped out in the chat interface, you can finally execute the build. But you have to use a specific trigger to change Gemini's behavior from just generating text to actually rendering software.
Right.
You have to instruct it to use canvas mode, or sometimes it's called dynamic view.
Right, because without that trigger, it just spits out a massive block of raw HTML code in a black text box.
Which is completely useless.
Totally useless, unless you know how to compile it yourself.
Wait.
Canvas mode turns the chat window into an actual rendering engine. And the prompt to trigger this is where the zero code magic happens.
This is the big moment.
You tell it. Using the structure we just created, generate the full website. Write the entire page as a single HTML file using Tailwind CSS. Includes smooth scrolling, clean typography, and card layouts.
Okay, we need to pause on Tailwind CSS for a second.
Yeah, please.
Because understanding why we use that is critical to this entire workflow. LLMs are notoriously bad at writing custom, separate CSS files from scratch. They lose track of which elements correspond to which styles. Tailwind solves this.
I've always heard it described as a utility-first styling framework, which right. honestly sounds like complete jargon.
It does.
How does it actually function for someone who has never coded before?
Think of Tailwind as a massive library of pre-designed, highly specific Lego blocks.
Okay, Lego blocks.
Yeah. If you want a button to be blue, have rounded corners, and cast a shadow, you don't write a separate document explaining how to draw that button. You just add the text tags BG blue, rounded, and shadow directly into the HTML line for that exact button.
Oh, so it's just pure string matching.
Exactly. Because LLMs operate fundamentally on next token prediction, you know, predicting the next logical word, they are exceptionally good at stringing together these predefined Tailwind tags.
Because it's just words.
Right. It allows the model to instantly generate incredibly modern professional aesthetics without getting lost in complex styling logic.
Okay, so you hit enter on that Tailwind prompt, and then you just wait.
Yes, you wait.
The sources say it takes about 2 to 5 minutes. which, I mean, when you are sitting there staring at a screen, feels incredibly long.
It feels like an eternity.
But it's literally writing hundreds of lines of structural code, styling, and text simultaneously.
It is computing the layout, applying the aesthetic parameters, embedding the synthesized data from your notebook, and rendering it into an interactive interface.
All at once.
Yeah. When that finishes, you don't just have text. You have a fully navigable website sitting right there in your browser.
But let's look at the reality of building things, right? The first draft is never perfect. What if I look at this beautifully rendered site and realize, oh man, it's missing a crucial component? Say I need a section highlighting my specific service packages. If I ask it to add that, does it have to regenerate the entire massive block of code from scratch and make me wait another 5 minutes?
No, and this is the specific advantage of the Canvas environment. It supports iterative expansion.
Okay, so I don't start over.
Not at all. You give it an expansion prompt. You tell it, hey, inject a new section below the hero area that displays three service packages as interactive cards with subtle hover effects.
And it just knows where to put it.
Yes. The model understands the existing DOM, the document object model of the site it just built. It simply computes the new code and splices it directly into the existing architecture without breaking the surrounding layout.
Okay, so we've iterated, it looks great, and it functions perfectly in this little canvas window.
Mm-hmm.
But how does this become a real asset? It's kind of stuck inside Google Gemini. How do I actually get this onto the internet?
The deployment is entirely in your control, which is the best part. The easiest route is simply hitting the share button within Gemini. It generates a public link that hosts the Canvas view, and you can just send that to anyone.
That's super easy.
Very easy. But if you want true ownership, if you want to put this on your own domain, you literally just copy the raw HTML text, paste it into a blank text document on your computer, and save it with a .html extension.
Wait, really? Just copy and paste?
That's it. You now possess the hard code. You can upload that single file to any basic web host, and it will run perfectly.
That is genuinely incredible. We've gone from messy notes to a hosted website. But I do have a major issue with this that we really need to address.
Okay, what's the issue?
Gemini is a powerhouse for the structural architecture and the coding. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I have an AI write the actual sales copy, like the words on the page, it sounds completely soulless.
Oh, absolutely.
It writes like a corporate robot. If I'm building a high-converting landing page, the messaging has to be perfect.
You've hit on the exact limitation of this single model approach.
Right.
You are asking a model that is currently optimized for structural coding logic to suddenly become like a master of human persuasion and nuance. Those are conflicting cognitive tasks.
So what's the fix?
If your priority is world-class messaging, the sources outline a very specific alternative pipeline integrating Claude 4.6.
Right, because Claude 4.6 is widely recognized as having superior reasoning and natural language capabilities compared to Gemini.
Exactly.
But you can't just jump over to Claude and say, hey, write my website.
Yeah.
The sources lay out a strict 4-step feedback loop between Claude and Notebook LM.
It is a phenomenal workflow. So, step one, you start in Claude 4.6 and ask it to act as an expert researcher, generating a comprehensive, high-level outline of your specific topic or service.
Okay, then step two. You take that massive research document and dump it back into Notebook LM to be refined alongside your personal data.
Yes.
But step three is where this gets wildly meta.
This is the magic step.
You don't ask Notebook LM to write the website. You ask Notebook LM to write the instruction manual for Claude. You ask it to generate a highly tuned prompt based on your data.
Precisely. You are utilizing Notebook LM's deep understanding of your highly specific context to engineer the perfect set of instructions for the better copywriter. You ask Notebook LM, based on my internal case studies and this research, write a strict, comprehensive prompt that I can feed to Claude 4.6 to generate a high-converting landing page, complete with objection handling.
And then step four, you take that surgically precise prompt, feed it to Claude, and out comes sales copy that actually sounds human.
Because it's guided perfectly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we look at the photographer example again, this is how you create an unpromptable competitive edge. They aren't just generating generic photography copy.
No, it's highly specific to them.
Right. Notebook LM analyzes their past 10 years of client emails, identifies the most common complaints or hesitations about pricing, and commands Claude to write a proactive common question section that dismantles those exact real-world friction points.
The copy isn't hallucinated. It is directly extracted from a decade of actual business data and human interaction, simply articulated through a highly advanced language model. It anticipates the client's needs because it has already analyzed a decade of those exact needs.
Okay, so we have the architecture from Gemini and the world-class copy from the Claude pipeline.
A perfect combo.
It is, but practically speaking, the friction of this process is still kind of high.
What do you mean?
Well, if I have to meticulously craft these multi-step structure prompts and Tailwind CSS instructions every single time I want to build a new page or update a dashboard, I'm just not going to do it. It's too much work.
Right. Which is why the final piece of the puzzle is automation. The strategy outlined by Charles Terrence Harper completely removes that friction by utilizing Gemini Gems.
Gemini Gems.
Yeah. A gem is effectively a saved, localized AI assistant that permanently remembers a specific set of instructions.
So how do you configure it? Do you just, like, paste the prompts in?
Essentially, yes. You create a master instruction, document your permanent blueprint. You define exactly how the web page should be structured. You mandate the use of Tailwind CSS. You establish the exact color hex codes for your brand. And you define the tone of voice.
You build the ultimate prompt.
Exactly. And you paste that entire logic block into the Gemini Gem Manager. The critical mechanism here is ensuring you set the gem to default to Canvas mode.
So once that gem is saved, the heavy lifting is permanently done.
Forever.
If I hire a new assistant next month, they don't need to know anything about Tailwind CSS or structure prompt.
Yep, nothing.
They just open that specific gem, attach a new notebook LM brief, and the gem instantly executes the entire multi-step coding process perfectly every single time.
It makes this highly complex technical workflow infinitely scalable across an entire team. It democratizes the engineering process within your own infrastructure, which honestly opens up the scope of what you should actually be building. We've talked heavily about websites and landing pages, but this technology is capable of rendering entire interactive systems.
Yeah, the sources get into some wild applications here.
Yeah.
Once you have this zero-code superpower, what else are people building?
They're building dynamic client dashboards. Instead of sending a static PDF report at the end of the month, you load your SEO metrics and campaign progress into Notebook LM and have a Gemini Gem render an interactive, password-protected dashboard.
Where the client can actually log in.
Exactly. They log in, click through their data, and see their ROI visualized in real time.
The onboarding example was definitely my favorite. The AI Profit Boardroom case study showed how, instead of just giving new members a boring manual, they load their standard operating procedures into Notebook LM.
A much better use of SOPs.
Right. Then Gemini renders a visual, interactive onboarding portal with clickable learning paths, automation templates, and even dynamic quizzes that actually test the user's understanding of the material.
And if you want to push the complexity even further, look at the objection handling dojo.
Oh, the dojo, yes.
A company can upload their proprietary sales rulebook and product limitations into Notebook LM. Gemini then renders a gamified, interactive chat interface.
Like a training simulator.
Basically, yeah. The AI randomly throws complex, nuanced client objections at a new sales rep. The rep has to type out their response, and the system instantly grades them, providing specific feedback based strictly on the parameters of the company's internal rulebook.
It literally turns reading a dry training manual into an interactive video game.
It really does.
But, you know, hearing all of this, it sounds incredible, but it also sounds like a massive recipe for getting completely overwhelmed.
Oh, for sure.
If I try to build a dynamic dashboard, a landing page, and a gamified training dojo all by tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to end up with a bunch of half-broken code and just give up.
You absolutely will. The failure rate for adopting zero-code tools isn't about the technology failing. It's about the user lacking an implementation strategy.
So how do we avoid that?
The sources provide a very rigid 30-day plan to prevent that exact overwhelm. It forces you to sequence your adoption.
Let's break that down realistically for everyone listening. Week one isn't about building anything visual at all, is it?
No, not at all. Week one is purely about data curation. You are just building one singular, highly accurate Notebook LM file.
Gathering the ingredients.
Exactly. You gather your best service catalogs, your most successful past projects, your core training documents, and you get them into one refined space. You are just building the brain.
Okay, then in week two, you finally connected to Gemini. But the goal still isn't to build your flagship product.
No, keep it small.
The outline suggests building three simple, disposable tools, like a basic dashboard, a simple quiz, a rough landing page.
Right. It's about understanding how the prompts interact with the Canvas rendering engine. You're getting comfortable with how Tailwind CSS looks and learning how the expansion prompts work when things inevitably look slightly wrong on the first try.
Just getting your reps in?
Exactly. You have to build the muscle memory of iterative generation before you attempt something critical. Then, week three is when you actually attempt to build something gamified or complex, like the dojo.
Okay.
And crucially, week three is when you share the interactive links with your team. You need human feedback to see where the AI's logic might be slightly misaligned with your actual operations.
And finally, week four is where you scale up the complexity. This is where you start importing multiple distinct notebook LM files into a single Gemini chat.
That's when it gets really powerful.
You force the AI to synthesize your marketing data with your deep operational data to build incredibly robust, multifaceted tools.
The discipline of that 30-day sequencing is what separates the people who just play with AI as a novelty from the people who actually integrate it as core business infrastructure.
So let's look at exactly what we've mapped out for you today.
Mm-hmm.
We started with a chaotic pile of old notes and unstructured data. We moved that into Notebook LM, utilizing semantic search to distill it into a perfectly prepped, highly refined brain.
We prepped the ingredients.
We sure did. Then we constructed a strict logical blueprint to prevent context collapse and passed that blueprint into Google Gemini's canvas mode. We used Tailwind CSS to instantly render a modern, fully functional interactive site, and we even explored the Claude 4.6 pipeline to ensure the copywriting was sourced from real-world data, not robotic generation.
It's a comprehensive workflow.
It is. You literally have the mechanics to act as a senior software architect and a master copywriter today.
But having the mechanics and actually executing them are two very different things.
That's true.
If we step back and look at the trajectory of where the specific capability is heading, it forces a profound realization. We are taking static, dead archives, your old emails, your past project logic, your unique human experiences, and instantly reviving them as interactive software that works autonomously.
Right. It's mind-blowing when you frame it like that.
It really begs the question. Are we transitioning from being mere creators of content to becoming the architects of our own digital replicas? When your 10-year-old archive can suddenly be rendered into a tool that is smarter, faster, and more articulate at training your clients than your newest hire, what does that mean for the fundamental structure of how you scale your own expertise?
Wow. That is exactly the kind of paradigm shift you need to be thinking about right now. Your data is only as valuable as your ability to deploy it. So don't leave your ingredients rotting in the pantry. Go build your first zero-code tool today. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we will catch you on the next one.